Well, we've just come back from five reading talking dates, and I was a little bit shocked the first night when I met you, and the first thing she said to me was, I don't really like to talk about punk. So why do you not like to talk about punk, even though you've written a book about it? What's so terrible about it?
Well, true punks are anti-nostalgia. And, you know, I didn't want people to think that the book is all about just punk rock. You know, it's a small part of my life. Many bigger things have happened to me, you know, emotionally bigger for me, although obviously not so big for people who don't know me. And I wanted to weave those subjects into the book. So it was a portrait of a whole person. And really, as I wrote and as I rewrote and re-edited, I realised the drive of this story is not someone who had 18 months, 2 years, blip of, you know, infamy in the 70s, but it's the story of a girl and a woman who's decade after decade is just trying to express herself creatively. And what a small ambition that should have been. And yet how thwarted, and the amount of obstacles, you know, sometimes obstacles within my own head and my own mind, sometimes, you know, but very often from the society I grew up in. You know, I was born in the 50s and I lived through the, you know, late 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 2000s. And it was incredible how this drive to just try and create and be expressive and communicate was such a big thing to ask of the Western world, you know, because I was born poor, you know, I was not very well educated. Maybe it would have been easier, you know, if I'd been born into a more bohemian family, a more middle-class family. But coming from where I came from, and being a woman, and being born in those times, decade after decade, has been such a struggle. And as it even says in the book, in my 50s, I had this fantastic manager, and he immediately said to me, if you write the book yourself, and not have a ghostwriter, the book will be shit. This is someone on my side.
It's almost like a red thread, men telling you that you what you can't do or shouldn't do because you're a girl, because you're a woman.
This thread all through the book is of men, starting with my father, telling me, if you try and do that, you will be shit. And it probably took me until my 50s, when this manager said to me, if you write the book yourself, it'll be shit, to realise that it was coming from a place of utter insecurity and threat from the man's point of view. I mean, I understood it a bit when my husband started to do it, but when even the guy I was paying starts to say the same thing, and I'm 50 and I've had records, I've been in films.
You hadn't even bothered to go and see one of your gigs.
He's never come to see a gig. Yeah, so anyway, it's one way or another, sometimes through patriarchy, sometimes through a lack of education, sometimes through a lack of confidence. I just thought there may be something that other young people can learn from this book. It's almost a self-help book disguised as a memoir, rather than just a memoir. Punks, we don't like to big ourselves up. We don't like to say, oh, we're heroes, look at us. Look, I'll write a whole book about myself. I'm so interesting. Unless it had another agenda, which was in some way informative and useful to other people. And that's what I like. I like that kind of art and creativity anyway. It seemed to me not worth writing.
Mm. It's also the story of a girl who's really very, very much into music, and you describe how you were going to see all sorts of different bands before punk in the 70s, and all the way through your life you really liked music, apart from a short period right after the split of the Slits. So let's talk about music a little bit more. What sort of, that is definitely a question I haven't asked yet. What sort of music do you listen to today?
None.
Oh dear.
No, because the thing is, it seems I was into music very young. Again, it was very unusual for a girl to be into music so young as I was in those days. Now young people from the age of 3 or 4 years old, you know, watching music on TV, listening to music, wanting to be, you know, in the music business. But when I became mad about music at about 9 years old, it was very unusual for someone that young, and it was very unusual for a girl. But what music represented to me was another world outside my terribly boring, dull, grey life. Everything in my life was grey. The food I ate, my school, my home, my parents' marriage. I didn't know that it was so bad until the day I heard a Beatles record, which my babysitter played to me. And that was a catalyst for me to think, my God, there's another world out there. So in a way, I don't care what medium I work in. You know, I'm not wedded to music. I don't want to hero worship boys with guitars or girls with guitars. I don't care. I just want to communicate. And in a way, I don't want to deify, you know, make contemporary music, pop music, the sort of the pinnacle of all expression. And I know a lot of people really do fetishize rock music, and I don't want to do that. And it was actually just a symbol of another world to me. And you know, also clothes, as part of the book is about the clothes I wore, how political wearing clothes was, especially in the punk time. But even before then, when you know, there was a time when we couldn't afford clothes, and I wanted to express to young people that, you know, we had two pairs of shoes, two pairs of jeans, two tops. There was no choice really back in those days. There were two bands, excuse me, you know, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. TV was in black and white. It was a very binary world back then, you know, before the internet, before the European Union in a way. You know, I'm so glad we are becoming a bit more global about things, because Britain was a tiny, closed, little island with that mentality. Yeah, so music was more a symbol than something. I did love it, but frankly, when it became too much of a business, I lost my love for it. Because now when I listen to music, all I can hear is the psychopaths trying to suck you in. You know, music is responsible for me becoming so disillusioned in later life with relationships, because I grew up hearing nothing but love song after love song, you know, 20, 30 times a day. And listening to the words and believing that that's what men wanted from relationships and boys wanted from relationships, not realising that what they wanted was fame and sex and money. And they were using these very deep expressions of emotions to get those things. And I feel like my mind has really been messed with. I've been very indoctrinated. I believed love and music for a while were my utter religion. And at this time in my life, I'm realising that my religions were false gods. And, you know, because I don't believe in organised religion. I have hardly any family. You know, music and romance and love were my things I clung on to that I would have one day. And now I'm 60 and I don't believe in music, pop music, and I don't believe in romantic love. You know, it's a pretty lonely place. I might have to get God, I don't know,
would you agree to say that the Slits were a very feminist band? And you talk in the book and in the talks that you just did, that we come from, you talk about the strictness of punk, and together with that strictness and the feminism of the Slits, you and the musical knowledge, very broad-minded musical knowledge, the Slits together created a very unique sound that a lot of the other punk bands sounded either sort of rough, popish, just coarse rock, had a coarse rock style. Yeah. But the Slits were one of the few that were sort of like early post-punk or punk post-punk, what I mean? Like, they sound much later than they actually were.
I think we are known now as almost the first post-punk band, you know, that other bands were very influenced But within punk, because punk had very strict rules, and don't forget it wasn't called punk then, but I don't want to go too much into punk, but we had very strict rules. We didn't want to be nostalgic, we didn't want to be derivative, and the Slits actually followed through those rules where, you know, the Clash and the Pistols, much as I love them, they were rock bands, they were derivative. They'd grown up imagining being in bands, whereas the Slits, we'd never grown up imagining being in bands. We came to music and performance very fresh. And, you know, you only have to look at Ari, you know, our German 14-year-old singer who'd come out of Bavaria, a boarding school, and she was like Kasper Hauser, you know, thrown onto the stage. And she had none of those rock cliches in her head and in her visual memory. So she went out there and she was like something completely new, completely revolutionary, unself-conscious about her body, making up ways of singing that no one had heard before, moving in ways no one had seen before. And the same for the rest of the Slits. We were completely fresh. And I think that's why we are still rated, you know, musically and even visually, we still look completely relevant today. Yeah, because we were so strict about our rules and because we were so fresh about how we came to be in that position.
But your book is also a book about, it has an A side and a B side, and the B side is about what came after the slits, and part of that is domestic hell. You got married and it didn't really work, did it?
Well, it did work for 10 years, to be fair. Yeah, the A side of the book is really my youth and what leads up to the B side, which is the results. It's all the consequences of what I reaped. You know, the A side is my family, my youth, my lack of control, my lack of discipline, and the B side is all that comes crashing down on me, because then I'm not well educated enough to earn money. I'm getting older. I'm poor. My body's breaking down because I've abused it. Because I'm not educated, you know, in terms of how to eat properly. And I was brought up by my mother to not respect family or love. So everything that I was built up in the first half is sort of revealed in my personality in the second half and in my life. So it's, yeah, it made much more sense to me. You know, the publisher at first said, oh, you know, we want a book about punk rock. Like, I was bored at the thought of that. You know, I don't write about those few months or those few years. You know, I've been through hell since then. And when I picked up a guitar, an electric guitar again in my 50s, and people started saying to me, people close to me, you can't play guitar, you're shit. You can't sing, you can't, you know, you'll make a fool of yourself. You're a woman, you're a housewife, you're a mother now. It was all the same things that they said to me when I first picked up a guitar at 19 and 20. And then I thought, here is a narrative arc. You know, here is a fantastic narrative shape. I pick up a guitar at 19. I'm told you can't do it. You're rubbish. I pick it up at 49 and exactly the same said. And in everything that went in between those two moments, you know, suddenly had a shape. So that was very exciting to me. And that was, the drive that got me writing, I think, the second time I picked up a guitar. And because I'd done a degree in filmmaking, I'd written scripts, I'd learned about narrative arcs. I knew how to, you know, I was partly informed by my music and the shape of an album. And I was partly informed by script writing and making films when I wrote the book. So it's quite visual as well as being shaped a bit like an album with tracks, you know.
But it's not going to be your last book, is it?
No, it's not going to be my last book. I've nearly finished my next book now.
What's that about?
Well, as I've toured reading the book, a lot of people have said to me, what made you pick up a guitar in 1977 when no girls did it, you had no role models, you couldn't play, you weren't musical? And a lot of male interviewers have suggested, oh, maybe it's that time you saw Johnny Rotten play, or maybe, you know, hanging out with Sid Vicious, or was it because Keith Levine from Pill showed you some chords? And I kept thinking about it. I thought, oh, I only knew those guys 18 months, 2 years. And the more I thought about it, the more I realised my mother had brought me up to be that girl who in 1975, 76 could do something so iconoclastic in a way as pick up a guitar when she couldn't play and couldn't sing and no girls did it. It was because of that. So it's sort of, I think it took three generations. My Swiss German grandmother, you know, left me the money that enabled me to buy a guitar because I was very poor. So I think it took sort of two or three generations to make a slit. And I think that's part of what is the thread of the next book.
Great. We're looking forward to that.